If we could start with a prayer, please.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, help of Christians,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Pius X,
pray for us.
Saint Isidore,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.
My conference tonight is on the spirit of the SSPX as seen by the statutes. And our statute book, for those of you who are in line, if you can pull out your binoculars, it's just a little blue book. There's a lot of white space in it, and a lot of it is actually just ceremonial. It's the ceremonies, like the ceremony for the brother's habit. There's really about half of it that is the guidance for the priests. Well, so my two sources for this conference are the statutes. And again, this small book that's entitled Cor Unum. The subtitle is The Letters and Conferences of Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre. And they're basically just letters that he wrote to the members of the society. What we've got in this little book are just the letters from 1970 to 1989, from the start of the society to right after the consecrations of the bishops. And it's an amplification of his thought in the statutes. And just the background, when we consider the spirit of the SSPX, it's good to keep in mind that God never abandons his church. And we see that all through history, God raises up saints and he raises up orders that are providentially suited to meet the demands of those times. So an easy example, for instance, is the Benedictines. The Roman Empire is collapsing. Western civilization is falling. The West is in chaos. And the Benedictines are founded. They establish monasteries everywhere through work, through prayer, and through their hospitality. They civilize, they re-civilize the West. It's really an amazing work that the Benedictines did. But it's not an exaggeration to say that the Benedictines refounded Western civilization, Western spirituality as well, but civilization. Another example, we have the Protestant Revolt, and God raises up Saint Ignatius and the Jesuits. These giants, these great men who are knowledgeable in every field, who take the vows of religious and the fourth vow of profound obedience to the Pope. In this period after the Protestant Revolt, where this concept of obedience is, we're completely losing it. We can say, in a sense, that the founders of new congregations that are approved by the church are inspired by God. And we can see the spirit of these founders in the rules that they write. So that's why I just wanted to focus, as an introductory conference, a little bit on the spirit of the SSPX. And to understand the spirit of a congregation, one looks at its founder, at his spirit, at his thought. In this case, we look at the thought of Archbishop Lefebvre. Well, this isn't a biography, but I just want to make a brief point about a spirit, that it's fundamental. We cannot understand the SSPX unless we understand this point. The Archbishop was a true son of Rome. He was simply and nothing but a faithful Catholic bishop who wanted to continue the office of a bishop, which is to teach. That's it. That's all he wanted to do. And we see that the very first document in the statutes is a document from the Bishop of Fribourg that is approving the SSPX. This is how things are done in the church. The church gives its mark by a local bishop approving the start of a congregation. The second document in the statutes is a letter from the cardinal archprefect of the sacred of the Congregation for Sacred Orders, Cardinal Wright. And again, it's a letter of approbation. So the archbishop starts his statutes with these. Father LaRue is the rector of the seminary right now. Some of you may know him. He had the tremendous advantage of being formed by Archbishop Lefebvre. And, you know, he'd tell us often that the archbishop, during his spiritual conferences, when people in the society, people outside the society, people in tradition are just up in arms, there's no peace anywhere, the archbishop would sit and he'd talk to the seminarians in this small voice with this peaceful spirit. Some of you had the privilege of knowing him, and I never did. I never met him, but supposedly he just had a very small, mild voice. And he'd just say, look, everything I tell you, if you don't believe me, go down to the library. Look at what the fathers said. Look at what the theologians say. Look at what canon law says. I'm only telling you what the church has always said. Why this fuss? It's just what the church has always said. In 1976, so the statutes were written in 1970. And in 1976, he wrote a new preface. And I want to give you a quotation from it. The archbishop writes, "The approbations and words of encouragement that have been given to us are irrevocable. They were a sign of these statutes' conformity to the spirit of the church. If the fruits of these benedictions provoke a mysterious animosity, such opposition can only come from a spirit which is not the church's, but that of the enemy of man." It's strong words. Already in 1976, there were many people who hated what the society represented. So I'd like to move and discuss maybe a little more specifically the spirit of the society. And the first thing is that it is centered on the holy sacrifice of the Mass. That's the heart of the society. Yes, it's essentially apostolic, which means it's essentially externally active. I mean, you see the SSPX priests running everywhere. But the archbishop was always at great pains to point out that the source, the engine of everything that the society does is the graces that we get from the sacrifice of the Mass. In the statutes, he writes, I want to quote a fair amount from the archbishop, because I don't know how frequently you get to hear his words from the statutes, and they're really, they're so simple, but they're very profound, just like all of his writings. So he writes, "Members will live with the conviction," and remember, when we speak of members, we're speaking of priests. "Members will live with the conviction that the whole efficacy of their apostolate flows from the sacrifice of our Lord, which they offer daily. Our Lord's whole existence was and remains priestly, and the sacrifice of the cross was the reason for his incarnation. Thus, the life of the society's members is entirely directed towards the sacrifice of the Mass, which prolongs our Lord's passion." There's an incredible amount of theology included in just that brief quotation. So in the statutes, we read, the description that most people hear of the SSPX is that it's a priestly society of common life without vows, which doesn't mean much to many people. It's something of a dry description. But in the Cor Unum, like I said, with this source book that I'm using a little bit to amplify his thoughts, he does speak about that. And basically the thread, the logical connection that he follows is this. He says that the spirit of the society is the spirit of the church. Very simple. The spirit of the society is the spirit of the church. The church is the mystery of Christ. And he makes the point that the more we penetrate into the mystery of Christ, the more we understand that his sacrifice on the cross was the central act of human history. So then we understand the importance of the Mass, which applies the graces of the sacrifice of Golgotha to us today. And thus we understand the importance of the priesthood. The priest is the man ordained to offer the sacrifice of the Mass. That is his reason for existence. The Archbishop sums it all up by saying, all the life of the Church is turned towards the altar of sacrifice, and consequently, the Church's principal concern is for the sanctity of her priests. We can't give what we don't have. If our priests aren't holy, they can't give people the graces that they need. And the Archbishop once said an interesting comment. He said that once a priest has said his Mass in the morning, he's performed 80% of his apostolate. That's pretty shocking once you hear it, but it's a reflection of the conviction that everything, every grace was earned for us by our Lord on Calvary. And the Mass is what calls it down to earth. Once a priest says his Mass in the morning, he's done 80% of his work for that day. Just something of a sidelight. I said that the priests in the SSPX are very active. And more, thanks be to God, we are developing schools. And in the Quorum, the Archbishop writes, the SSPX's efforts and preoccupations with priories, schools, and above all, seminaries are consecrated towards the formation of future priests. In the statutes, he gives a little bit of his thinking behind the spirit behind our schools. Again, this is just a little sidelight, but I think it's interesting for us to, at the start of the school year, just think about for a little bit. So the Archbishop writes, schools, really free from any constraint, so as to be able to give a thoroughly Christian education to the young, will be fostered and even founded by members of the society. From these schools will come vocations and Christian homes. I think it's worth making the point that SSPX schools, they're not meant to be conveyor belts to the seminary. What they are meant to do is, in this world which attacks sanctity, which attacks chastity, the interior life, prayer, purity, it attacks these things so violently. SSPX schools are meant to, I'll use the word protect, but it's a word that sometimes we misuse, but SSPX schools are meant to keep our children free from becoming slaves to these vices. And only if we keep our children free from these things that drag them down into the mud, then are they free to respond to a vocation from God, to the grace of a vocation from God. Then are they free to respond to God's call to raise a family and a holy family, and from those families, vocations can come. Again, it's just a sidelight on, just a side comment on schools, but so we're speaking of the spirit of the society. We said it's centered on the Mass. It's also centered on Our Lady. I've heard people say, well, and I don't understand how this comment ever comes, but, you know, the SSPX doesn't have a very huge, obvious devotion to Our Lady. I don't see how they can say that, but in the statutes, the Archbishop says, immediately after he says that the SSPX is placed under the patronage of Jesus, the eternal high priest, he states that it's also under the protection of Mary, mother of the priest par excellence, and through him, mother of all priests, in whom she forms her son. for the Archbishop and for anyone who understands the mystery of our Lord and the mystery of His Mass, she is inseparable from the cross. She is inseparable from the Mass. She is inseparable from the priesthood. The official or the internal name of the SSPX is the Apostles of Jesus and Mary. So again, this brief introduction to the spirit of the society. It's centered on the Mass. It's centered on Our Lady. And it's also characterized by what I would call a certain spirit of simplicity. This is a little bit harder to quantify, but it shines forth in our statutes. It shines forth in the actions of the Archbishop. And it's funny because we might be tempted to think that in these times of extraordinary crisis, where the Church has had crises before, but there's a different quality to this one. I think it runs deeper even than, you know, the Arian crisis. It is an extraordinary period of history. And we would think that a founder who is establishing a society dedicated to the preservation of the priesthood would incorporate some sort of extraordinary practices. We would expect something just that has never been seen before, especially in such extraordinary times. And it's not true. It's not so. There's a section in the statutes entitled On the Virtues of Members. And it's nothing more than a call to charity. The whole thing, it's a page and a half, and it covers a lot of different subtopics, we can call them, but everything is nothing but a reference to charity. It's incredibly simple. He starts out, he just says, we need to love God. This gives rise to chastity and poverty, to giving ourselves through faith and obedience. It makes us strive for justice, because if we love God, then we want to give Him His due through the virtue of religion. So we love God. After speaking of the charity that we owe to God, he speaks of the charity that we have for our Lord in the Eucharist and for His Mother, who is always present at His offering. And then the third subdivision, I guess. From this charity flows charity towards our neighbor, our apostolic zeal, and our humility. It's nothing but a call to charity, nothing. And then the next section is on the ordinary means of sanctification of priests. Again, it's so simple. All it is, it's community prayers, so prayers in common, daily rosary, daily meditation, daily mass, confession at least every other week, a yearly retreat, and a care and love for the liturgy. But that's it. Those are the means of sanctification for the SSPX. It's what the Church has always done. It's certainly Pope Pius X. He wrote a motu proprio, and it's just the blueprint that he gave out, and all he did was he was expressing the mind of the Church and what good priests have always done. And the Archbishop goes on to make an interesting comment in the Cor Unum regarding the spirit of the liturgy. He was truly liturgically spirited. He was a seminarian at Rome, at the French seminary in Rome, and he was a head MC there, and he was imbued with the spirit of the Roman liturgy, which he tried to pass on to the SSPX. So he wrote about the spirit of the liturgy as it should be practiced in the society. And he says, it should be done with deep respect as well as humility and simplicity, avoiding all originality or personal improvisation. Are we so audacious as to think that our personal attitude and way of doing things is preferable to that of the Church? Liturgical actions are public actions and not personal acts of devotion. We must, therefore, ensure that they are in accordance with the will of the Church and not our own whims nor those of a reformer inspired by a Protestant spirit. It's directly against the liturgical innovations of Vatican II, and yet it's only what the Church has always said. Yes, there are rites that have that have variations of the liturgy, but generally the Catholic liturgy should be based on the liturgy of Rome. And that's all the Archbishop wanted. His idea was that the individual priest performing liturgical action should be transparent. Someone looking at that priest doesn't see the individual priest. He sees the eternal high priest who is using him as an instrument to work his Father's will on earth. That's what the liturgy is for. It's the continuation of the worship of God the Son, of God the Father. That's all it is. So that's a fair summary of the spirit of the SSPX as we see it from the statutes. It's centered on the Mass. It gives everything through the hands of Our Lady. And it's a spirit of simplicity, just of using the means that the Church has always used and doing what the Church has always done. That's it. So in conclusion, I'd just like to say there is nothing extraordinary about the SSPX. What does make it extraordinary is the period of history in which we are living. So it's my hope that with just this brief glimpse of the spirit of the society, of its statutes, we might all unite our prayers ever more closely to its work. The Church is under a vicious assault today, and no one represents the Church more clearly or more visibly than her priests. And that's why so many priests are under such a violent attack these days. So I beg you to pray for priests, to pray for the SSPX, and to offer these prayers through the hands of Our Lady. She, in a special way, she is the mother of priests, as the Archbishop says, it's the truth. And pray for the Church. Pray for the Pope. Like I said, we're not extraordinary. We're not the Church. The Archbishop was always at pains to point out, we are not the Church. We will not fix the crisis in the Church. We are just here to preserve the priesthood. We are just here to follow the will of God and do it as best we can. And the best way we can do it is to pray and to offer sacrifice for the Church and its priests. Thank you.